Today, our scripture is from Acts 10, verses 34 to 43. Then Peter began to speak to them. I truly understand that God shows no partiality. But in the nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. You know the message he sent to the people of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. That message spread throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, and the baptism that John announced. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth to the Holy Spirit and with power. How he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For God was with him. We are witness to all that he did, both in Judea and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and allowed him to appear, not to all people, but to us who were chosen by God as witnesses and who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one ordained by God as judge and the living of the dead. All the prophets testify about him that anyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. God bless the reading.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So you may be wondering why I chose to preach from Acts this morning. I imagine many of you were expecting to hear the story of the women finding the empty tomb on Easter morning. This morning, I chose to preach from Acts because I want all of us to leave here with an answer to the question of why do we celebrate Easter? So this morning, we're going to be reflecting on what does it mean to live now that we have peace with God and with one another. Our scripture reading for this morning is an excerpt from a sermon that Peter gave to the early church. In it, Peter insists that we have peace with God because of Jesus. He also insists that we can't have peace with God apart from Jesus because of this thing called sin. Sin being anything that separates us from God. But despite our sin, God loves us. He chose to send his son, Jesus, to pay the penalty of our sin so that Jesus could fix the sin problem once and for all. We learned on Good Friday that on the cross, Jesus took on the punishment of sin that we were supposed to receive. But because Jesus lived without sin, he offered this perfect, once and for all, sacrifice to God. Now, the resurrection, or Jesus rising from the dead, can be kind of this abstract theological concept. So to make this concept a practice that we can engage in, we actually reenact the resurrection every Sunday in worship. Does anyone want to guess where we do that in our worship service? I'll give you a hint. We didn't do it today. What? Yes, the greeting. So when we greet one another, before we do it, I say, because we have been reconciled to God, let us show signs of that reconciliation to one another. So when we greet one another, we are actually practicing the resurrection. When I say this, what I mean is that because of Jesus' sacrifice, we have peace with one another. Jesus' death atoned or made amends for our sin. And as Christians, we believe this is something that we can't do on our own. And if we're being honest, we don't really deserve this. In Peter's sermon to the early church, he argues, what better way to respond to the grace of God than by bestowing grace on our brothers and sisters? Now, greeting one another or passing the peace would be an absurd thing to do before Easter. We can only forgive one another because we have been forgiven by God. We can only work towards the reconciliation of the world because we have been reconciled to God in Jesus. Because of Easter, both the early church that Peter was preaching to and the church of today, they can now become these communities of active peacemaking. Friends, Peter insists that our God shows no partiality. What Peter means by this is that God doesn't play favorites. In fact, God desires to be in relationship with everyone. And because God loves all people, we are invited, indeed, we are called to love those same people that God does. But if we're being honest with ourselves, Christians are not really known for their impartiality. Rather than actively working to make peace with all people, we surround ourselves with people that look and think and pray like we do. Instead of working for peace, we often work for partiality. Friends, the difference the resurrection, the difference that Easter makes in our lives is that it allows us to be peacemakers. Having been reconciled to God, we can now make peace with one another, even and particularly with people who are different from us. Next week, I'm going to be heading back to the seminary for another week of classes about church planting and revitalization. This week, our class focuses on Christian leadership. In preparation for the class, we all had to read a book called Moral Leadership for a Divided Age. The book is about, I believe, 12 women and men who made a difference in the world, usually leaving their small corner of the world better than they found it. One of the leaders we read about was born Agnes Gonche in Albania in 1910. She grew up to be a Catholic nun and missionary who revolutionized care of the poor in India. Mother Teresa declared that God told her to follow him into the slums, to serve him amongst the poorest of the poor. This was a calling she pursued with single-mindedness from 1946 until a few months before her death in 1997. Now, I had heard about Mother Teresa before I read this book, but I didn't realize until I read the book that Mother Teresa didn't just serve in the slums of India. She made a home in the poorest of the poor slums in India. These are places that not only lacked adequate medical care, they lacked any medical care. There's this story about one day she didn't have transportation to take people to a hospital, so she, this tiny little woman who couldn't have weighed more than 100 pounds, would load people into a wheelbarrow and she would push them the 3 miles to a hospital. What she found when she was in India is that oftentimes poor folks who were on the verge of death were abandoned by their friends and family. So she created a mission output called the Missionaries of Charity. And they were tasked with providing hospice care so that even the poorest of the poor could die with dignity. But Mother Teresa didn't just meet the needs of the poor in India. She actually revolutionized how the world thinks about caring for the least of these. I think Mother Teresa's life bears witness to the good news of Easter. Christ is risen from the dead. Let us go and share this peace with everyone we meet. However, the challenge of Easter is to figure out where exactly God is calling each one of us to make peace. I believe that Mother Teresa was able to dedicate her life to peace because she dedicated her life to prayer. Every morning, she and her sisters, the staff and the volunteers at the Missionaries of Charity, would rise and they would recite this famous prayer of Saint Francis of Assisi. I'm going to read it for you again this morning. It says, "Lord, make me an instrument of your peace. Where there is hatred, let me sow love. Where there is injury, pardon. Where there is doubt, faith. Where there is despair, hope. Where there is darkness, light. And where there is sadness, joy. O Master, grant that I may not so much seek to be consoled as to console, to be understood as to understand, to be loved as to love. For it is in giving we receive. It is in pardoning that we are pardoned. And it is in dying that we are born to eternal life." What I love about this prayer is that it gives us tangible ways that we are to make peace. We are to sow love, pardon, faith, hope, light, and joy. This prayer reminds us that we are able to do these things because Jesus did them for us on that Easter morning so long ago. Our challenge as we go from this place is to ask God, "Lord, how can I be an instrument of your peace?" To help get you started, I have a few examples for you. Maybe God is calling you to sow pardon with the committee member who just won't stop talking at committee meetings. You know the one I'm talking about. The one who habitually makes you late for the new episode of Game of Thrones. Maybe God is calling you to listen to the viewpoint of someone that you greatly disagree with. The one who gets on your nerves. The one who knows how to get under your skin. Maybe God is calling you to understand them before they understand you. Maybe God is calling you to speak out against injustice, to bring light to darkness. Even though your voice shakes, even though you don't really know what you're doing, because you know that injustice anywhere is really injustice everywhere. Friends, however you choose to work for peace this Easter season, remember this. On the cross, Jesus did take and continues to take away the sins of the world. We are forgiven and free. Or, as I like to tell children as they come forward to receive communion, Jesus loves you. He always has, and he always will. Let us go out into the world preaching to the people the gospel of peace and reconciliation. Happy Easter. In Jesus' name, amen.